think we finished Mishnah Mitzvah Tess. Ramban wants to count as a separate mitzvah not to administer Dini Nefashos based on Eidus Milcheres. So Eidus Milcheres means if you have two witnesses who saw the murder, each witness is standing at a different location and they're not aware of each other. So the Mishnah says that you don't give Dini Nefashos in such a case. And the Megillah Esther says, that's a detail in Hilchos Eidus. That's the halacha there. The two Eidim are not good. So the Ramban holds that it's not true. The two Eidim are good. It is good for Din and the Fashas. Maharaya, the Gemara says there's an institution of Kippah. Right before I left America, they had in the news about this fellow who murdered the little boy. So someone sent me an email. If there was no Hasra, nobody warned him at the time that he murdered him. There were no witnesses at all. So what would the Bezdin do? Would he go scot-free? What do you do with a murderer where there's no kosher witnesses?
So you're mad, man.
Right. So the din is that you don't give any punishment based on self-incrimination. That's in the American Constitution, that's based on Jewish law. That Hadas Badin doesn't help for Einish Aguf. Hadas Badin is only good for Mammon. Hadas Badin is good in Dina Mammon, but it's not good to give Malkus Amisa. So here, with the no witnesses and there was no Hasra, so would he go scot-free? So the Mishnah says, no, there's a Mishnah Sanhedrin, that there's an institution of Machnis Moser Lekipa, that you put a person in a room and you starve him to death. So that's usually for murderers. A person is a murderer, so he's a danger to society. Oh, so you have to have two witnesses. Eid Echad is not believed. And Hodos Baldin also is not good, because he may be crazy. Maybe he's admitting to something that he never did. Unless it's clear and obvious to the Bezin that he did it, so then they put him in Kippah. They lock him up in a room and let him starve to death. So the Gemara says that the Avedis Miuchedes, one witness was watching from one window, one witness was watching from another window, so you have two Eidim. If you only have Eid Echad says that he's a murderer, then you can't rely on the Eid Echad to lock him up and to say he's a danger to society, have him die from starvation. But if you do have two kosher witnesses, just that they weren't looking from the same window, the din is that it is a birur. Even in the Nefashis, it is a birur. It's just that there's a separate mitzvah, like the Ramban says, not to administer the punishment of the Nefashis based on Eidus Miuchedes. But basically, you have to aid. So that's the Ramban has a strong taina here. This should be counted as a separate mitzvah, because it really is good Eidus. Not like the Megillah says this. That's a detail. And Hilchos Eidus, the Eidus are no good. It's not true. The Eidus is good. It's a din lo yumas al pi Eidecha, not to administer the Mrs. Bezin. So that's what we discussed last time, the mitzvah tes and the Ramban's hashmatos. He thinks that the Rambam made a mistake by not counting this mitzvah. The next mitzvah yud, the Ramban says, the Sefer Halachas Gedolos was written before the days of the Rambam. The Halachas Gedolos is written in the days of the Gaonim. He mentioned it's not exactly clear who wrote it. Tosis always assumes that it was written by Rabbi Yehudoi Goin. Goin means one of the heads, one of the presidents of the yeshiva. The yeshiva was called Goin Yankiv. Whoever was the Rosh Yeshiva, Rosh Yeshiva meant the fundraiser. Sometimes they were not so learned. So the Rosh Yeshiva was called Rosh Yeshiva's Goin Yankiv. So it's a very long title. So they called him Mekitza Goin. Doesn't necessarily mean that he's really such a Goin. So Rabbi Yehudoi Goin was one of the major Goanim, and he was taka very learned. So some Tosis always assumes Halachas Gedolos was a sefer written by Rabbi Yehudoi Goin, and the Ramban always assumes that it was written by Rabbi Shimon Kayoro, who lived in Cairo, who was the same time as the Goanim, but there was no yeshiva in Cairo. He was not the head of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, who headed yeshiva, were also known as Goanim. Goanim Eretz Yisrael, never Goanim Bavel, the yeshivas in Bavel. Shimon Kayora was a contemporary of the Goanim, he himself was not a Goanim. It was not clear who wrote it, but it was clearly written before the days of the Rambam. The Rambam refers a lot in the Sharoshim and the 14 Klolim, refers a lot to the Halachas Gedolos, and it disagrees a lot with his minyan on mitzvahs. The Ramban says over here, the Halachas Gedolos counted a mitzvah, and he doesn't understand why the Rambam left it out. Torah has a din that you have to screen all the soldiers who are joining the army. Whoever is not psychologically not up to waging war will just fall to pieces. He's not strong enough psychologically to wage war, so you're not allowed to take him in the army. He says, Yelech liyoshev lebeis, so she go back home. Lo yimasas levav echov, kil vovo. You should not. So there are two ways to translate. The Ramban says there are two ways to translate the word lo yimas. Either it's a poyel yotzi, he should not cause their heart. The scaredy cat, the one who's psychologically not fit to wage war, he should not cause their heart to melt away. It's a poyel yotze. Or he says, oh, the Ramban is not sure. It should not happen. Not that he should not cause their heart to melt away. Maybe it's v'lo yochales b'soro, that their heart should not melt away. Whatever it is, it's a lav. So the Ramban quotes from Halachas Gedolos that he counts this as a loisese, that one who is not fit, psychologically not fit to fight, and a lot of people not psychologically fit, he's not allowed to volunteer. He's not allowed to go to the army. He'll ruin the war effort. So he doesn't understand why the Rambam didn't include this in the Minyan HaMitzvos. That's a strong kasha.
How do you determine, there's a measurement? Meaning, you wouldn't know necessarily until you get there, so I could be alive.
That's a good question. They probably have a board of psychologists to interview each candidate to see whether they think that he's fit for war or not. Probably fill out a questionnaire or something like that.
And if you found that, you wouldn't be able to know?
Yeah, so they're not allowed to take such a person. He's not allowed to volunteer. He's not doing a mitzvah if Nimi Shura Sadin.
Who's the lava? Him or the whole people?
No, he's a lava on the soldier who continues to function in the army. He has to. He's not allowed to function in the army.
So if
he doesn't realize it, so the committee of psychologists who interview everybody. Either he realizes or they'll tell him, we don't want you to go. And then he's not allowed to go. He's not allowed to go in the army.
Is it a mitzvah for them to screen him, or it's a mitzvah for him to realize?
A lot of times a person is not able to judge on his own. Most people cannot recognize their own chesroinus. Everybody, every story that every person tells over, he's the hero of every story. He's the center of attraction. Everything revolves about him. Everybody has a different perception of the world. Everybody thinks that they're perfect. So it's probably going to be too difficult for him to realize that he's not fit for army service. Mm-hmm. So they probably should have a board of psychologists to interview him.
Would this apply for today, since if you go into the army in Israel, let's say not everyone's fit for the army. So would this apply today? Or?
Sure, should apply today. Maybe he's not fit for battle. Maybe he's fit to do work. Yeah, in the office to do other work. But he's not allowed to go and act the battle. That's a loisese. That's what he dines. Then the Ramban has mitzvah yodala, very interesting. There's a whole essay here. Very interesting. He says, there's a pasuk in Chumash, Kiseitze machna aloi vecho, when we go to war against our enemy, v'nishmarta mikol davaro, we should be careful not to do anything awful. We should be careful not to eat non-kosher food. What is it talking about? Nishmarta mikol davaro. So he quotes a passage from the Sifrei. This passage is in Chumash Dvar. So the Sifrei is the commentary of the Tanoim, Bamidbar Dvar. He says, kol davaro does not refer to tuma v'tara, hafrashas maisris, he's going to eat tevel. That's not called davara. Davara means, we see this all the time, sometimes in the American army, all armies of the world, when the soldiers are away from their homes, they become sometimes a little crazy. So they'll go murder people unnecessarily. They'll go rape women. They'll go wild. They'll go do crazy things. So the Sifrei says, there's an issur in general not to murder anybody. There's an issur in general not to rape a woman. But here there's an additional issur. The Nishmarta mikol davara, and the pasuk continues, Ki Hashem alakecha misalech bekerv machanecha lahatzilecha, v'lasei savecha biyodecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that he will be there with the Jewish army to help them win the war. And if we'll have a davara, v'shov me'acharecha, the Shechina will leave us. We have to be careful. There are certain averis which the Torah indicates to us will cause a siluk HaShechina. If we'll have a siluk HaShechina, we won't have the siyata d'shmaya to win the war. So the Sifrei says, which are those averis? It says it's murder. It's a special issur. Soldiers get so used to killing, necessarily in battle, they have to kill the enemy, They can start killing people on this, they can start killing civilians. That's a separate, in addition to the law of Vaisirtsov, it's an additional law. It goes on raping women, it goes on looting and stealing. These are the things that soldiers will often do. And these are the things that will cause the Siluk HaShchina. So he thinks that this should count as a separate law.
Isn't more like a warning than a law by itself?
He says one could have read it like that, but he thinks the Sifrei does not read it like that. You shouldn't say that it's only a warning. So he says, no, it's a special license. It's not that the Torah is describing what the results will be. The Torah is prohibiting this. He says this should be counted as a separate loisase. But not all averis. He says the halachas gedolos also counts this as a lav, but he counts the other pasuk. Liyor b'cha ervas dover. Liyor b'cha ervas dover means the soldiers have to be careful for arayis. He thinks that it's more correct to count the earlier pasuk, v'nishmartam mikol davara, which includes arayis and ritzicha and gezel, all the things that will cause siluk shchina. And then it says dover ra includes also dibur ra, like he said before by riddus. It says neshach kesev, neshach rechel, neshach kol dover. So the Gemara says kol dibur. Every so often when it says the word dover chumish, the Torah Shabbat Peh will have an additional level of interpretation that refers to dibur. Here also it refers to loshon hara. But there's a special lav not, there's a general lav not to talk Lashon Hara. There's a special lav not to talk Lashon Hara in the army, because this will cause a siluk shchina. It's interesting, there are special dinim that apply to the soldiers in the Jewish army. There's a din, they have to be careful not to leave tzoa around. Every soldier has to take a little shovel with him. Yosetir l'cho al hazinecho, on your backpack, together with everything else that you carry, you have to carry a shovel, yoseid. And when a person has to move his bowels, they don't have, now they have portable toilets. But in the days of the Tarach, they didn't have, so you have to have this shovel. And you have to cover up the tzoya, because of Kedushas HaMachna, it says, and you have to be careful not to have erevah in the Machna. So then, why? Because the Shechina is there. And if you have a sloppy machna with so all over the place, you have people who will be undressed, there will be erva, the shov macharecha, the shechina will run away. So the Yerushalmi has three different opinions. How many soldiers do you have to have all together in one group near each other? Yerushalmi doesn't discuss how close is near each other. Yerushalmi discusses how many soldiers do you need in a battalion that it should be considered a machna. So there are three different opinions. And the Magen Mishnah in his commentary on the side of the Rambam assumes that l'halacha l'maaseh the answer is 10. Why 10? Because you need 10 for a davar shebikdusha. You need 10 people to bring the Shechina down. If you want to daven, you want to say Baruch Kedusha Chazaras Hashatz, whenever you recite Kaddish, whenever you recite a davar shebikdusha, you need a minyan. So we assume that the Jewish soldiers who are fighting in the army, that's a davar shebikdusha. The Shechina will be there. The Shechina promises they'll be there. Shechina will only be there if you have 10 soldiers. So this is on the level of deraisa. That's the minimum number of soldiers that you need is 10. That it should be considered a machne yisrael, that you can expect the Shechina to be there. Then you have the din to be careful for erva and for tzor. Then you have dinim derabbanan. Where is this Yerushalmi, where the Yerushalmi has the three different opinions, whether it's 10,000 or 100 or 10? The Magen Mishnah thinks we paskin 10 people. This Yerushalmi is the end of the first perek in Erevin. There's a Mishnah at the end of the first perek in Erevin. Shlosha Dvarim Patru B'machana. The Tanoim gave three kulas to the soldiers in the army. So one kula is that we allow them to eat bread without Netilas Yadayim. And the Gemara comments that's only without Netilas Yadayim before eating. But washing my machrainim, that's for health purposes. We're afraid they'll rub the Mel Sodomus into their eyes. So how can you give a lenient sack for the soldiers if it's a Dover Mishum Sakona? Today, Tosis says, we don't have any Mel Sodomus, so there's no health problem. But the first Mishnah says, they relieve the soldiers, there's no problem of it until Sedai. Then there's a din with the Rabbana, if you have a Rishu Sayochid, you have walls around, let's say you have walls around an apartment building. And each family lives in a different apartment. So in HaTorah, the whole building is one big Rishu Sayachid. Or in Europe years ago, In the days of the Bali Atosis, they used to have cities, the Goyim would make walls around the whole city. So the wall would be a mechitza, would be 10 tefachim tall. So in Torah, the entire city would be one big Rishus HaYochid. But the Rabbanon, Shlomo HaMelech, made a takana that you need an Erev Echatzeres. But even though there's one big wall in Torah, it's one big Rishus HaYochid, he's still not allowed to carry, because this is Reuben's family lives over here. Shimon's family lives over there, and both Reuben's family and Shimon's family use the chatzar in between. So there are three different Rishus HaYochids. One is Reuben's Rishus HaYochid, one is Shimon's Rishus HaYochid, one is Reuben Shimon hyphenated. So you're not allowed to carry from 1 to 2, from 2 to 3, from 1 to 3. Each one is a different Rishus HaYochid. That takana was invented by Shlomo HaMelech Beruach HaKodesh. Erev Echatzeres. So the Mishnah says that the soldiers are permitted to carry without an Erev Echatzeres. Since it's a Rishus HaYochid Min HaTorah, there's no problem. And the third kula that they have is if the soldiers need logs to make a fire, to cook their food, or to keep warm at night, so they're going to have to schlep all the logs with them all the time. It's hard enough to have to schlep the ammunition with them. They have to hold the rifles and the tanks and so on. So the Chachamim were matter the Yisig Zela. If I take someone else's logs, we're passing by a farm. And the farmer has a shed where he has a lot of logs there. So if it's a Jew or a non-Jew, that's an Yisig Gezel, you're not allowed to steal. So the soldiers in the army have a heter. Shlosha Dvarim Patra B'machna, there's no Yisig Gezel. Is it a gezel? They're going to steal someone's benayra. They're going to steal someone's silver becher or something like that. But there's no a gezel if they take logs in order to make a fire to keep warm or to cook the food. And there's no need for erev echatzeres. So the Yerushalmi has a discussion on that Mishnah. How many soldiers do you have together that it should be considered a machne? So the Magen Mishnah on the side of the Rambam assumes that we pass content. That it constitutes a davar shebekdusha. 10 soldiers fighting in the army is considered like saying Kaddish Kedusha and Baruch Hu, because we assume the Shekhinah will be there with them. That's how the pasuk says, "Ki Hashem alakech misalach bekerach machanecha lahatzilecha, lo seisavecha biyadecha baliyir bucha erbez davar v'shov meacharecha." The Shekhinah shouldn't say erbez davar, and the Shekhinah will run away. That's what the Ramban says over here also. If we'll be in violation of davar rov, if the soldiers will act like Goyish's soldiers act, they'll violate Dover on the army, that this will cause a Siluk Shekhinah. He says certain Averis cause Siluk Shekhinah, others not. If you eat non-kosher food, you eat tevel without Afroshes Maestris, you violate Tumah B'Tareh, that doesn't cause Siluk Shekhinah. But murder and Arayis and Lashon Hara, these things are singled out, these things cause Siluk Shekhinah. So that's a separate love. So he doesn't agree with the Halachas Gedolos, who counts the love. The Yer Bucha Erev is Dover, that's only restricted, that's only an Erva. He says we should have really counted as the Lav. When Nishmarta be called Dover Rav, Nishmarta is considered a Loisese. Because the Gemara says whenever it says Hishama Pen or Al, that's the equivalent of a Loisese. That's to either say like Lois Saksam Shabbadisha, Lois Sigzol, that's a Loisese, Lois Sinav, Loi something, or Hishama Pen Vial is the equivalent of Lois. So he thinks, the Ramban thinks that it makes more sense. To count the love and Ishmarta Mikol Davaro, which is more inclusive, rather than only count the Lair B'chayvah's Davar, which only on part of the story. Then the next two mitzvahs the Ramban has, the next mitzvah, Mitzvah Yedeis, Ramban quotes the Pesukim in Chumash regarding Pishnai. If a man dies and he has a lot of sons, and the firstborn child was a boy, if the first, I have 9 children, so my first child is a girl. So she doesn't get Pishnaim. The din of Pishnaim only applies if the firstborn child is a boy. So let's say if it's a boy, so he's entitled to Pishnaim. What does it mean, Pishnaim? So the conservatives have a whole misinterpretation of the whole Tanakh. They have a whole misinterpretation of the whole religion, unfortunately. So they have published their essays that the Pishnaim always used to mean that the Bechor gets 2/3. Let's say a man has 10 children, so the Bechor gets 2/3, and the remaining 9 children divide the remaining 1/3. That's how they claim. And the later generations, there's absolutely no evidence for this whatsoever. In the later generations, the rabbis decided that that's not fair. What God said is not fair, that they should give 2/3 of all of the Yerusha to the Bechor. So they interpreted Pishnaim means he would get as if he were 2 children. So that's the only thing that it says in the Mishnais. If a person has, let's say, 10 sons, Instead of dividing the Yerusha into 10 parts and each one getting an equal share, he divides the Yerusha into 11 parts and the Bechor gets 2 elevenths. If he has 4 sons, instead of dividing the Yerusha into 4 parts and each one getting an equal share, he divides into 5 parts and the Bechor gets 2 shares. That's what it means, Pishnayim, double the amount of any other son. Doesn't mean Pishnayim is not a Hebrew expression that means 2/3. There is no such source. Where did the conservatives get this idea from, that Pishnayim doesn't mean a double portion? That was the rabbis in a later generation changed it. It always used to mean 2/3. Where did they get it from? So they got it from misinterpretation of another pasuk, that when Eliyahu HaNavi went up in the fiery chariot to heaven, the Gemara says he never died, he's still alive, but he went up to heaven. So Elisha requested of his Rebbe, Elisha was a Talmud of Eliyahu, so he was a Talmud in Nevuah. So he requested of his Rebbe, can I have Pishnayim Beruchacha? What does that mean, Pishnayim Beruchacha? So the conservatives published an essay. What do you mean? He's asking to be twice as great as Eliyahu. No, that's some chutzpah. It certainly means that he's asking 2/3 of your power. So just like over there, it means 2/3. So by Pishnayim, by the Parosa, meant 2/3. And the rabbis in later generations changed it. The rabbis had a tradition that that's what Elisha asked for. He asked for Pishnayim. He asked for a double portion. He said, and the rabbis say he was granted. The request was granted. Eliyahu HaNavi was Machiah 1 mace, and Elisha was Machiah 2 mace. So Elisha HaNavi had a double portion, double Karach HaNavuah, twice as great as Eliyahu HaNavi. And Eliyahu HaNavi explained to him, when he made the request of Eliyahu, he said, can you see to it, will I be able to get Pishnayim Biruchacha, double the portion of Nevuah? So Eliyahu HaNavi told him, if you will faint when I go up to heaven, and you won't know what happened, then you cannot have Pishnayim. But if you will remain conscious, then there's a chance that your request will be granted. Why does it depend whether he's going to faint or not? The Pesukim say that Eliyahu HaNavi had other students who were students in Nevuah. He was teaching them how to become Nevi'im. So the other students in Nevuah, when Eliyahu HaNavi disappeared, they were in a trance and they didn't understand what was going on. And they were looking all over, where's Eliyahu HaNavi? He must be hiding somewhere. Where is Eliyahu HaNavi? And Elisha told him he went up to heaven in a fiery chariot. They couldn't understand what that meant. They were fainting all over the place. So the commentaries explain that two types of Nevi'im. Sometimes there's a Navi and his Nevuah spills over to others. They get their Korach HaNevuah from their Rebbe. And sometimes they learn by the Rebbe and then they develop their own Korach HaNevuah. So if their Korach of prophecy, if their Korach HaNevuah is overflowing from the Rebbe, so obviously it cannot exceed the Korach HaNevuah of the Rebbe. So Elisha HaNavi makes a request. He wants to be twice as great in Korach HaNevuah than Eliyahu HaNavi. So Eliyahu HaNavi says, well, it depends. When I'm going to be nostalgic, when I'll disappear, so all of those students of mine who have their Nevuah as an overflow, fallout, like you call an atomic, when you drop an atomic bomb, so there's fallout all over the place. So those students of mine who have the Nevuah as an overflow of my Nevuah, they cannot exceed my Nevuah. Those who are Nevi and Mikochi, they're all going to faint. Because when I disappear from the face of the earth, so it's not possible that they should remain Nevi. So if you will also faint, if you're going to faint when I go up in the fiery chariot, that will be an indication that your Nevuah is Mikochi. So it'll be impossible that you should be twice as great as me. But if you will not faint, and that's what happened, all the other Talmidim of Eliyahu HaNavi fainted, except for Elisha. He remained conscious, he saw the whole thing, saw the fiery chariot. So then Eliyahu HaNavi says, that'll be an indication that your Nevuah is independent Nevuah. Your Nevuah is not overflowing from mine. So then it is possible that you will be greater than me. Then maybe your wish will be granted. And then the Talmud points out his wish was granted. So we assume that Pishnayim means, both by Elisha HaNavi when he requested Pishnayim, and by the Bechor being entitled to Pishnayim, the phrase Pishnayim does not mean 2/3. There ain't no such expression in Hebrew. Shnei Shlishim is 2/3. Pishnayim means double portion. By Eliyahu HaNavi with Elisha, he was requesting to be twice as great in Korach HaNevuah as Eliyahu. And according to the tradition, his wish was granted. Because his Nevuah was different from the other Talmidim of... You see in Chumash also like that. In Parshas Bahaloischa, Moshe Rabbeinu complains to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can't take it, I need some help, I can't take care of all these people. These Bnei Yisrael, they're making me crazy. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Esfer li shivim ish, Shayadaita came, Sikhna Homeshotrop, single out 70 people, a few from every Shavid. We all tzaltim in Haruach Hashalecha, and Asati Aleyim. So the Koyach HaNavua that you have will spill over onto the others. So the Psukim say, the Koyach HaNavua of Moshe Rabbeinu overflowed, and those that were there also became Nevi'im. But then there were Eldar and Medan, Mestabim Bamachne, according to the Gemara, they thought that they really singled out 72 possibilities to become Nevi'im, to become members of the Sanhedrin of 70 Zekanim. Eldar and Medan thought they didn't stand the chance, so they didn't participate. So the Vaila, the Psukim say, Eldar and Medan got their own Koyach HaNevua. The Shivim Zekanim who were singled out got their Koyach HaNevua from Moshe Rabbeinu. Eldar and Medan had independent Koyach HaNevua. So Yeshua ben Nun was very upset. What's going on over here? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, what's wrong? They can be mi'itein v'yokalam Hashem Nevi'im. Let them have their own independent Koyach HaNevua. So you see from the Psukim that there are two types of Nevi'im. The Shivim Zekanim and Parshas Ba'alo Yitzchak got their Koyach HaNevua as an overflow from that of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Eldar and Medan were misnabim independently by Machane. They got a Nevua that Moshe Rabbeinu did not know. Moshe Meis v'Yeshua Machnes. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know that Nevua. They got their own Nevua. So that's the Pasha Pshat and the Parsha with Elisha with Eliyahu Anavi. So the Torah has a din. The Chumash says, if a man has two wives, Kiseyen Eliyashtei Nashim, Vachas Ahuva Vachas Nua, one wife he loves, and the other wife he doesn't like. Yoldo Lavanim Ha'ahuva Vachas Nua, they both have a child. V'hoya Ben Amchol Asniyah. The wife that he doesn't like is the one who has a Bchor. So the Torah says, one might have thought that because he favors the one wife, so her son should be the Bchor, despite the fact that the Bein HaBchor was born to this Nuah. So the Torah says, not so. Why would I think just because he loves this wife more than the other wife, why should I think that the son of the Ha'ahuva should be entitled to the double portion? So the Talmud understands, Ha'ahuva v'has Nuah doesn't mean that he loves one wife more than the other. One is a prohibited marriage and one is a permitted marriage. He married one woman he's not allowed to marry. He married a mamzeris and he has a child from her. The child is a mamzer. Or he's a kohen married a grusha and he had a child. The child is a cholo. He wasn't allowed to marry that woman. Or he married a woman from Mitzrayim, Edom. He's not allowed to marry Mitzvah Edom Midor Rishon. Only Dor Shlishi is muta. He married a woman beisur. So one is ahuva. Doesn't mean I love this wife more than I love the other wife. God loved this marriage, and God doesn't approve of this marriage because it's a prohibited marriage. So one might have thought that the child who is born as a mamzer, the child who is born from the prohibited marriage, should not be entitled to the pishnah. So the Torah says nonetheless. So it sounds like it has an essay and a lois essay. That's how the Ramban says. It sounds like you have an essay, ki asa b'chor ben asno yakir, losses lo pishnayim. And then it says, Lo yuchel levakez ben ha'ahuva al p'nei ben asnua ha'pchor. Lo yuchel levakez aloy sese, he's not allowed to. And it's ha'pchor ben asnua yakir, it's a mitzvah on the part of the father that he should identify who's the pchor. Let's say the father is 95 years old and he's about to die. And his children are in their 60s and their 70s. They all look pretty old. It's hard to tell who's older than whom. So the father's about to die and he says, this one is the pchor. He tells a lie, and he says on the younger son, he likes the younger son better. Or the younger son was born from the permissible marriage. So he says, no one is a pchor. He says, my oldest child is a daughter, and none of the boys are pchor. So the Ramban says he's in violation of the essay. As a pchor ben asnoa yakir, he should identify before he dies. He has the manas to say which one is the pchor. He should identify who the pchor is. And it's a lois essay if he tries to avoid giving the pchor the pishnah. Lo yuchal avakas ben ha'uva is a lois essay, lo yuchal. So the Ramban thinks that this should be counted really as an additional mitzvah sasei, as an additional mitzvah lois essay. He says the halachas gedoilos didn't count the essay as a pchor ben asnua yakir. Finally, he thinks that it's part of the bigger mitzvah, the mitzvah of Yerusha, that you should see to it that the laws of Yerusha should be fulfilled, so that Allah Zadolos apparently includes the whole story of Pishnaim there, that you should see to it that Chor gets Pishnaim. But the Ramban thinks that's not enough. He thinks that there's a separate mitzvah sesei and a separate mitzvah loy sesei. So this is the famous Ramban. Who made it famous? The Ktzos HaChoshen. The Tzeis HaKoshen, in his commentary on Choshe Mishpat, Hilchos Nachlas, has a kasha against the Ramban. The Ramban claims, as a Pchor ben Asno Yakir is a mitzvah saseh, if the father is dying is around 95 years old, then it's hard for us, nobody really knows which child is older than whom, we don't know who's older. The children probably know, but the other people in the community do not know. So the father has an obligation to declare before he dies, as Habchor ben Asno Yakir, that's how the Ramban says. So the Tzachoshin asks, isn't this against the Gemara? Because the Gemara has a whole discussion, there's a machloikis satanoim, what's the din? If it's always assumed, the man has three sons. So everybody knows, this son is much older, one son just made a bar mitzvah on his son, and then the next son has little babies, and the next son has one tiny infant. He has a little baby. So it's obvious who's older than whom in my family. The three boys are 10 years apart. It's very noticeable who's older. My older son has a big beard, and the other one is much younger. But if you can't tell who's older, so yeah, then you have the Ramban claims, then you have the mitzvah of Yakir. So the Gemara has a machlekes hatanaim. What if you have three sons? And everybody always assumed that this son is older than him. All the people in the neighborhood assume he's older than him. The father on his deathbed says not so. Father says that the one who seems to be younger is really older than the other one. Is the father believed kineged ha-chazaka? Chazaka means it was always assumed that Reuven is older than Shimon. Father says not true. Now we have birth records. We have the government keeps records of who was born. Years ago in Europe, nobody knew how old they were. They just knew whether they were bar mitzvah before bar mitzvah. There's still countries in the world today. The people don't know how old they were. They don't know. And they keep no records of anything.
They said that it's a mitzvah to recognize the Bechor HaSnua.
The Ramban claims it's a mitzvah saseh.
Would it also be an assay? Let's say it's not. It's just two. He has two regular kids. Not one of a snua, not one of a nahuva.
Also,
would that also be an assay?
Right. He says that essay is the mitzvah saseh is.
Is it a separate essay for? Is it included in the same essay?
Yeah, it's only one essay. To identify which one is the Bechor that is being entitled to get Pishlam.
Why is it specifically said?
Even in a case where one was born from a forbidden marriage, and the oldest, the Bechor was born from a forbidden marriage, and one might think that he doesn't have the right to get Pishnayim, but the Torah says not say he does have the right. And even in such a case, the father has an obligation to identify who the Bechor is. Even.
Why doesn't the Torah just flat out say, like, legal marriage, illegal marriage? Why does it say snua?
That's what it means. Doesn't mean the husband loves her and the husband doesn't love her. It means this is a beloved marriage and this is a cursed marriage because it's against the din. That's the Torah's way of describing it. So the Gemara seems to understand as Abchor ben Asnua Yakir is a din. The father has nemanis to identify who the Bechor is. So the Gemara says, why do I need a pasuk to tell me it's Abchor ben Asnua Yakir? Father has nemanis on his deathbed to say who's the oldest, who's entitled to Pishnayim. Of course the father has nemanis. If he wants, he can give him, he can write him a shtar now and give him a maton, and make a kinyan now, and give him a double portion now. See, even if he doesn't give him, whenever I have the yodi, whenever I have control over all the money, I have the manas to say who the money belongs to, even if I won't make a kinyan, because it's biyodi. So the Gemara says, if you hold like the Tana, who says the father is believed in the keneged hachazaka, even though it's assumed that Reuven is the oldest and Shimon is the youngest, fathers believe to say Reuven is older than Shimon when you have no birth records, then you understand why you need a pasuk yakir. But just in the case you don't know who's older, who's younger, the father has the manas, of course he has the manas. So why do you need a pasuk yakir? So the Gemara has a whole sugya in Kiddushin, a whole, and the same sugya is repeated in Baba Basa, a whole discussion, a whole page in the Gemara, what do you need a pasuk yakir? So according to the Rambam, what kind of a question is it? What do you need a pasuk yakir? Yakir is a mitzvah sesei. The father, it's not just stating of a halacha. that the father is believed to identify who the elder is, not just the statement of having them on us. It's a chova, it's a mitzvah, the father has to identify who the elder son is. So the Ketzoyis HaChosh and asked the Kasha, that the Gemara seems to contradict this Ramban. Because the Gemara is asking what he needs the Pasuk of Yakir for. According to the Ramban, the answer is Yakir is a mitzvah saseh. So that's a problem. Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, who is the big Pasuk in Europe, wrote, he's known for his tshuvas. He has a whole tshuva where he tries to defend the Ramban, tries to answer the Kasha. Kasha is better than the answer. Here the Ramban, in the middle of this mitzvah yud beis, refers you to a targum unculus. A lot of times people are mabesedre superficially. They run through the chumash twice, they run through the targum unculus, they don't notice things. Targum unculus is not just translating. A lot of times in translating, you're giving an interpretation of the psukim. You have the same word appears in chumash many times. Targum unculus will give you a different translation in these psukim and in these psukim. So there are a lot of nuances in targum unculus. There's a rabbi in Yerushalayim who was working on targum unculus for 25 years, and he collected. His son is married to my daughter. His name is Rabbi Posen. He was teaching in Bar Ilan for many, many years, and he got his doctorate on the work that he did on unculus, and he's putting out. Soon going to put out a book on this. All the different nuances of translation that you find in unculus. Here, the Ramban, the mitzvah leises a yud beis, points out. When it says lo yuchel levaker is ben ho ahuva, how do you translate that? Ramban claims that's a loisese. The father is not allowed to cheat the son, the firstborn son. Lo yuchel levaker, and then he thinks that the as abchav ben asnoyak, he thinks that should count as an essay also. He thinks you have an essay and a loisese over here. So how do you know whether lo yuchel levaker is a loisese or it's just a statement of fact? The father does not have the ability to cheat the p'chor of the pishnai. Whatever the father will do, the p'chor will always get pishnai. How do you know how to translate? Lo yuchel, he doesn't have the ability to cheat the p'chor. Or lo yuchel is a loisese, he's not allowed to. So he says, look in targum unculus, who will translate differently in different places in the chumash. He says, usually the unculus will translate. What is he saying? Sometimes he'll translate, you don't have the ability. And sometimes he will translate, leis lach rishu, you don't have the permission to do it. It's an averu. Hu loshen lo yeyase ken, you're not allowed to do it. So he's medayik from the targum unculus on this pasuk, leichol levaka leis lach rishu, so you have no right to do it. It's an averu. But that's why he says you should be counted as a loisase. It's not just a mini, it's not just... Many times when it says lo yuchal, I don't remember where, he quotes a few. Many times when it says lo yuchal, it just means you don't have the ability to do it, but it's not a lois essay. But it says here, Targum Unculus is careful to write, leis lach rishu, that you're not allowed to do it. Here there is a question, halacha lemaaseh. Here the Ramban quotes the din. Let's say a man is about to die, and he has three sons. Let's say I have three sons. The one son is in business. Yummies. My son Yummy started Yummies over here. He was always in business. Even when he was in high school, he was always a wheeler dealer in business. Then I have another son who's still learning in the Kollel. He's the one who just made a bar mitzvah. Then one, I have another son. He's an assistant rabbi, and he's going to get himself a job. He's much younger. He's the youngest of them. He's only around 23. And he's probably going to get smicha soon, another year or two. And he's probably going to get a job teaching and rabbinating somewhere. So let's say I decide, they don't all need, let's say I have six daughters. All of my daughters are doing very well, business-wise, parnasa-wise. So let's say the Rabbanim recommend that we shouldn't follow what it says in the Torah. The Torah says only the three sons divide the Yerusha, one-third, 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 and the daughters don't get anything. So the days of the Shulchan Aruch, they already quote from the Rishonim, that if you'll do like it says in the Chumash, the daughters will be very upset. So you should try to give the daughter, make a kinyan, make his chayvus in advance, that you give each one of the daughters half a share of the sons. So let's say I have six daughters and three sons, so we should treat it as if I have six children. Each one of the sons gets 1/6, and each one of the daughters gets 1/12. So that adds up to 100%. The three sons will get half, And the six daughters will get the other half. Instead of each daughter getting like one son, each daughter gets like a half a son. That's called the shtar chatzi zocher. The father, before he dies, fills out a document, the shtar, and he makes kinyonim, that he wants each one of the daughters to get a share equal to a chatzi zocher, to a half of a son. The Rabbanim and the recent generations think that that's not going to help, that the daughters will still feel hurt. So it's recommended, that's Rabbi Shlomo Zalman recommended, you should fill out a will, you should see to it, you make kinyonim, to give all the daughters an equal share to all the sons. Okay. You have to know how to do it. You have to know which kinyonim to make. So let's say I only have three sons. Let's say I have no daughters. I only have three sons. One of my sons is doing very well in business. One really does need so much money, and one needs the money more, much more than the other. So the Torah says, when the father is about to transfer over the Yerusha to his children, he shouldn't cheat the Bchor, he should give the Bchor to Pishlam. What kind of an expression is that? Biyom hanchilo es banav. When the father is about to give over the Yerusha, Malach HaMavet is going to take my life and I'm going to drop dead. What do you mean hanchilo? The father doesn't manchil anything to the children. The father kicks the bucket to bury him 6 feet under, and the Yerusha goes to the children. What kind of an expression hanchilo? So the Mishnah in Bava Basu, Kuf Laman Amar Aleph, he quotes it. Mishnah quotes the Tana Rabbi Yechon Ben Broika says, and that's how we paskin like Rabbi Yechon Ben Broika. Torah nastam reshus la'av lahancha l'chol mai sheyirtze. Torah gives the father the right to make a will. Not to make a will to leave money to the next door neighbor, and to this friend, and to this rabbi, and so on. No. Torah gives him the right to pick among the sons. If you have three sons, and each one is entitled to get one-third, 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 the father thinks that one son is doing very well in business. He doesn't need so much. One son really needs more money. So he wants to give one son one half, then he wants to give the other two sons, he's going to give one half, so one is going to give one third of a half, the other one is going to give two thirds of the half. So the Torah gives permission to do that. A Torah does that, and that's how we paskin. If the sons are all in line to get Yerusha, let's say I have three sons and six daughters, the daughters are not entitled, they're not in line even to get a penny. So I can't say I want all of the nine children to get an equal share. The daughters are not in line to get any money. So if you want to leave money for your daughters, which is recommended in Shulchan Aruch, so you have to make kinyonim, and you have to know how to make the kinyonim. You have to make them properly. But if you have all three sons who are on the line to get something, so then the Torah does give the father the right, b'yom hanchilu as banav, a Torah nas nam shuiz la'av l'hanchil l'chon misha yirtze, father has the right to pick out bein bein amonim, one who is in line to get Yerusha, he can alter the proportions of the Yerusha. So let's say I would have three sons, and one would be the Bchor. So instead of considering it like three sons, I make believe as if I have four sons. Bchor is entitled to two quarters, and each one of the other sons gets one quarter, one quarter. The Bchor gets one half. He gets like two sons. So when the Torah says, L'yuchu levaker, so the Gemara says, I cannot say, I want to give all the Yerusha to the one son who's the youngest. You cannot cheat the Bchor from the Pishnah. It's impossible. So that's a big machlokes halacha lemaaseh. You cannot cheat the bchor of the chelek habechora. One quarter for sure. He gets one quarter as chelek haposhut, one quarter as chelek habechora. The other two sons have three sons. So they should have each gotten equal. They should have gotten one third, one third, one third. But because there's a bchor, so he divided into four parts, and the bchor gets two quarters. One quarter as a poshut, as a son, and one quarter as a bchor. So when the Torah says, l'yuchol avaker, he doesn't have the ability to cause the Bchor to lose his share. It means to lose his extra share as a Bchor. But you can't cheat him from his Chelek HaPshitas. Let's say I have three sons and no one is a Bchor. I can give all the Yerusha to one son, because no one is a Bchor. So even if you have a Bchor, maybe what it means is you cannot cheat the Bchor of the Chelek HaBchor. But the Chelek HaPshitas, you can cheat him. Or maybe it means no. If one of the sons is a Bchor, you can neither cheat him of the chelek abchor nor the chelek abshitis. You can rearrange the other half of the Yerusha the way you want, but two quarters of the Yerusha have to go to the bchor. So that's a machlokes on the Gemara in Yesh Nochlin, when the Mishnah Kuf Lamed has this din, that the father can rearrange the Yerusha a little bit, the father can make it tzavah, hatar nasta rishus lahav lahanchil, Chomisha Yirtza, whoever is in line to get Yerusha, he can change the proportions, except you can't cheat the Pchor. So there there's a machlokes, the Nemukki Yosef, that's printed on the side of the Rif, and the Rashash, on the same Daf Kuflamet. Machlokes, what does it mean? So Shaila Alocha Lemaisa, it comes up. Many people today don't know how to make out a will, according to Halacha. They make out a secular will. And most of the Poskim hold that the Halacha would not recognize a secular will. The Halacha would only recognize it if he's picking out a son from the sons. Let's say the father has 6 daughters and 3 daughters. He feels like a secular will. He wants all the children to divide equally. So most of the Poskim say the Halacha would not recognize such a secular will. That's fine. The children should really honor the will of the parents mitam kibbutz. That's what Rabbi Kivegi writes.
Like the father doesn't know how to do it, so then he only makes a secular will. But they know that he meant for...
Oh, if the children know that that was the father's wish, so they should really live up to it, because that's the din of kibbutz. They should listen. Rabbi Kivegi writes like that. So then Rabbi Kivegi asked, and it's truly yes against himself, but the din of kibbutz is only mishalav, not mishal ben. Let's say kibbutz, my father says, can I drive him to the airport? So I'm going to drive him to the airport. Can I carry his luggage? Can I, whatever, can I make the arrangement? He wants to travel to Eretz Yisrael. Can I call up the airport, buy a ticket, and get a room in a hotel? Everything, my father asked me to take care of everything. Then my father says, he wants me to pay for it. So what do you mean pay? You pay. Give me a credit card. I'll be happy to make all the arrangements for you. I'm not mechuyev to pay. So if my father has enough money, so the Gemara says, kibbutz and mishalav, alo mishal bein. Son is not mechuyev to spend money from his pocket to do kibbutz. The father has money, so I'll be happy to do the work for you. I'll call up the hotel, and I'll call up the travel agent. I'll drive you to the airport. I'll carry your luggage. But why should I pay for it? You have money. You pay for it. That's not included in kibbutz. So here at Kivegi asked the question, father dies, and the money goes birusha to the children. And the father left a tzavuah that wasn't made according to the halacha. So what do you mean kibbutz? The children should observe the instructions that the father gave, but it's their money now. The halacha says, I have 6 daughters and 3 sons. The halacha says the 3 sons each get 1/3, 1/3, 1/3. Because none of them is a pchor. My oldest child is a girl. So according to halacha, each one of the sons gets 1/3. What kind of keep it up? My son should give money to divide among the sisters. They're not mechuyev to spend money if he keep it up. So Rabbi Kivegi says, no, this is not Mishal Bein. This is called Mishalah. This is the father's money. The father's still alive when he's making the tzavua.
Also, they have to pay from the father's Yerusha, let's say the father has a debt.
Yeah, they're supposed to pay all the debts from the Yerusha. That's for sure. No, that's there was a shibud on the father's assets while he was alive. Shibud and the chosin.
So clearly, it's not completely theirs. It still has a little.
Whatever was meshubit to the bali chayvis, they have a right to collect before the yerushim divided. But now the question is, do the 3 sons have to honor the request of the father? The father's telling him now that they should give their money away to the sisters. That's kibbutz. Kibbutz doesn't apply mishal bein. It's only mishalav. Rabbi Kivegi thinks that argument is not correct. All the money belongs to the father now. The father didn't die yet. And he's leaving instructions now. When I die, I want you to divide the money equally. So he thinks that is mishalav. That's not, the father's not asking him to spend their money. Now it's his money.
He's not leaving instructions. He's leaving a will that's not even written.
Right, but since the children know that was the wish of the father, so there's a din of kibbutz. Now Moshe Feinstein had a very unusual chiddush. He gives a whole explanation why he thinks that a secular will is binding in halacha. And he didn't even consider it important enough to write a whole tshuva. So he tacked it on at the end of another tshuva. It's not in Chelek HaShemishpat at all. It's in the end of a tshuva in Eben Ezer. And just writes a double portion. And many rabbanim wrote in disagreement with Moshe Feinstein. I thought he was not right. I thought it was a pele. I thought it was against the Gemaras. So I have to say, Moshe Feinstein knew all the Gemaras by heart. He was phenomenal. But this one is a very difficult one. Moshe himself did not make any kinyanim. He just left a secular will that all of his children had sons and daughters and should all divide everything equally and show. He didn't make any kinyan, but most don't follow a Moshe. Okay, so this mitzvah Yudbeis of the Ramban, this is famous. He thinks you have both a mitzvah saseh and a mitzvah sleseh. As a prophet, as Noah Yakir is a mitzvah saseh, and the mitzvah sleseh is lo yuchal avakir, and he points to that based on Targum Unklus, that a few times it says a chumash lo yuchal, and Targum Unklus will sometimes say you don't have the ability, and sometimes it say you're not allowed to. So over here, the Targum Unklus says you're not allowed to, it doesn't say you don't have the ability. So that's why it should be counted as a lo yuchal. Mitzvah Yud Gimel, also a big chiddush. This is from Parshas Maaseh. The Torah has a din, I think we mentioned this already once, but the Torah has a din of Goel Adam. So if you ask most people, what's a din of Goel Adam? They say, yeah, if somebody killed Bishogeg, so the Horik Bishgoga has to go to Dari Miklot, and if he leaves Dari Miklot, then the Goel Adam has a right to kill him. He's not mechuyif to kill him, it's a rishus to kill him. What if the person murdered B'mezit? Is there an institution of Goel Adam? Everybody says, no, Goel Adam is only Bishogeg, not B'mezit. This is what Rashi writes in Sanhedrin. Ramban doesn't even want to write that Rashi is the one who said it. He says there were those who made a mistake and they said that Goel Adam is only Bishogeg. So he says, with all due respect, it's against the Beferish Apostle in Parshas Maaseh. It says Beferish. That the mitzvah of Goel Adam even applies when the person killed the mezid. So then he says, that's what he counted in the mitzvah Saseh. He had that already. The Goel Adam should kill. That was mitzvah Yud Gimel in the minyan mitzvah saseh that the Ramban says the Rambam forgot. Here it's mitzvah Yud Gimel in the lois saseh that it says the goel adam should kill him lo soches eincha olav v'yatu ram Yisrael. So he says he thinks that this lo soches eincha olav is a lois saseh. You shouldn't feel bad. He already murdered one person. What if you're going to be accomplished by killing another person? The guy's dead already, so why should we kill another person? So the Torah says, no, you're not allowed to think like that. It's a loises to have achmonis, and the Goel Adam has a mitzvah davke to kill him. So the mitzvah and the Goel Adam, he counted it already. Mitzvah Yud Gimelin, Minyan, and mitzvah sese. And here he counts as a loises, not to have achmonis on. Okay, we'll leave off mitzvah Yud Dalet. There's a good reason why the Rambam didn't count mitzvah Yud Dalet. The Ramban didn't realize why. Up to you, Dalit.